You know, it's really incredible when you think about it for a second, just how our brains handle memories. Like, you know, we're constantly taking in what's happening right now and somehow weaving it into this huge tapestry of all our past
Yeah,
experiences.
it's amazing. Like, you can see someone's face and instantly connect it to a memory from years ago, or hear a song and be transported back to a specific moment.
Exactly. And it's that link between our short-term focus and our vast long-term memory that makes human learning so powerful and so adaptable. But when you compare that to where AI is right now, it's pretty striking.
Yeah, there's a big gap there. Like, current AI models are amazing at processing information really quickly within a limited scope. But when it comes to actually remembering and building upon super long sequences of data, that's where things get tricky.
It's a tough challenge for sure, and that's precisely why this deep dive is going to be so fascinating. One of our awesome listeners, you know who you are, sent us this super intriguing research paper.
Oh yeah, 2501.00663v1.pdf, right?
That's the one. It introduces this whole new family of AI architectures called Titans. And from what I've gathered, they're designed to tackle this exact problem of how to make AI learn and remember over these really long stretches of data.
That's spot on. This research is all about exploring a fundamentally different way for AI models to retain and use information across much longer sequences than what we typically see with current approaches. The core concept here is equipping these models with a much more robust system for what they call neural long-term memory.
Okay, so let's lay out our mission for this deep dive. We really want to understand the core principles behind these Titans, how they differ from the current leading models like Transformers, and why this new approach could be a game changer in the world of AI.
Sounds good to me. And for you, our listener, we know you're always eager to get to the heart of complex logics quickly, so we'll make sure to break down the most important insights without getting bogged down in too much technical jargon.
We'll keep it clear and engaging, I promise. So the paper starts by really laying out the challenges that current models face when they're dealing with these massive sequences of data, and as you mentioned earlier, their attention mechanisms, which are kind of their way of focusing on important parts of the input, become a huge computational bottleneck.
Right, it's like this: if you double the length of the sequence, a transformer has to process the amount of computation it needs to do roughly quadruples. It just explodes in complexity, and it quickly becomes unsustainable for really long documents or conversations or any kind of data stream that goes on for a while.
Yeah, it's like trying to juggle too many things at once. You just can't keep up. And on top of that, the paper argues that these models are really missing a true long-term memory component, something that can work alongside their short-term processing.
Yeah, they make a really helpful analogy in the paper. They describe transformers with their focus on this limited window of context as being similar to our short-term memory.
I remember that. So, what exactly are Titans bringing to the table as the AI equivalent of long-term memory?
This is where things get super interesting. The researchers introduce what they call a neural long-term memory module. It's basically a separate neural network that learns to store information as it's processing the data, so in real time, during what they call test time.
Wait, a neural network that learns to memorize on the fly? That's a wild concept. How does it even decide what's worth remembering? It can't just hold on to every single detail from a massive data stream, can it?
That's a really important question, and this is where the paper takes inspiration from how our own human long-term memory works. We all know that we tend to remember surprising or unexpected events much more vividly than everyday mundane stuff, right?
Yeah, definitely those standout moments stick with us.
Exactly, and Titans incorporate this same idea through what they call a surprise metric.
A surprise metric. Okay, now I'm really curious. Tell me more about how AI can actually measure surprise.
Well, the way they define it in the paper is very specific. It's based on the gradient of the neural network's output with respect to the input within a specific calculation they call associative memory loss. Essentially, a larger gradient means the current input is really different or more surprising compared to what the network has encountered recently. This higher surprise acts as a signal that this information might be important to remember.
So it's like the AI is constantly making predictions about what it expects to see next, and when something unexpected happens, it takes note.
Yeah, you could think of it that way. And what's really cool is that instead of relying on some predefined rules about what's important, the model actually learns what constitutes surprise directly from the data itself.
That makes a lot of sense. It lets the model adapt to all sorts of different data where the signs of something important might vary quite a bit.
Exactly. And they've gone a step further. They don't just look at this immediate momentary surprise. They also incorporate the idea of past surprise, which is essentially a momentum term.
Okay, so it's not just about how surprising something is right now, but also how surprising things have been recently.
Precisely. It's like if you keep encountering unusual events, you become more and more alert to the possibility of more surprises. They even draw a parallel to gradient descent with momentum in machine learning.
Right. Momentum in that context helps the model to kind of smooth out its reactions over time. Instead of overreacting to every little change, it can recognize sustained periods of surprising or unusual data.
You got it. And there are two key parameters here that control this surprise decay, represented by the Greek letter eta, and the influence of momentary surprise, represented by theta. And these aren't fixed values. They actually adapt based on the data being processed.
So the model is constantly fine-tuning its sensitivity to surprise based on what it's seeing.
Exactly. It's a really dynamic system. So we've talked about how the surprise metric helps the model figure out what to focus on and potentially remember. But how does this neural long-term memory actually store the information? What's the underlying mechanism?
Yeah, that's the big question.
They use something called associative memory loss. As the core principle, the memory module learns to create links between keys and values that are extracted from the input data. These keys and values are generated through simple linear transformations of the input using learnable matrices called WK and WV.
Okay, so they're basically transforming the raw data into these key value pairs.
Right, and then the loss function, which is how the model learns, tries to minimize the difference between what the memory module outputs when given a key and the corresponding value that was stored with it.
So it's like the memory module is constantly trying to improve its ability to retrieve the correct information, the value, when it's presented with a related cue, the key.
You got it. It's building up this intricate web of associations as it processes the data. And just as importantly, for any good long-term memory system, there needs to be a way to forget information that's no longer relevant.
Yeah, if we remembered absolutely everything, our brains would be completely overloaded. We need to filter out the noise.
Exactly. And Titans address this with a forgetting mechanism.
How does that work?
They use an adaptive gating mechanism represented by the Greek letter alpha. This gate acts like a control valve, determining how much of the past memory is preserved. When new information comes in, it outputs a value between 0 and 1.
Okay, so a value close to 0 means hold on to most of the old memory, and a value closer to 1 means let go of more of it.
Exactly. And this alpha gate can dynamically adjust based on the ongoing data stream, so the model is constantly evaluating what's worth keeping and what can be safely forgotten.
Smart. Now I'm curious about the actual architecture of this long-term memory module. Is it some super complex new type of neural network?
You might be surprised to hear that they actually went with a relatively simple design. They use multi-layer perceptrons, or MLPs, with at least one layer L greater than or equal to 1.
Really? I would have expected something more elaborate. Why the choice for these simpler MLPs?
The researchers explained that they really wanted to emphasize the core design principles of this long-term memory concept and how it integrates with other AI systems. So they deliberately chose these simpler MLPs to keep the focus on those fundamental ideas.
So it's like a proof of concept showing that even with a simpler design, they can achieve significant improvements.
Exactly. And they do point out that using deeper memory module with LM greater than or equal to 2 layers provides a theoretical advantage in terms of expressiveness compared to models that are limited to linear transformations.
So these deeper MLPs can capture more complex relationships in the data and potentially be more effective at remembering over longer periods.
Right, and their experiments back this up. They found that deeper memory generally leads to better performance, especially when dealing with those longer sequences.
Okay, so we've got these deeper MLPs storing all this information, but when the model needs to access the stored long-term memory, how does the retrieval process work?
It's designed to be pretty straightforward when the model gets a new input. It first projects that input through a linear layer to create what they call a query. And this query is then just passed through the neural long-term memory module in a standard forward pass.
So no fancy adjustments, just a simple query and retrieve.
Exactly. Now, another really important aspect they address is the training of this long-term memory module. Because as we've discussed, processing these super long sequences can be a major computational bottleneck.
So how did they manage to train this effectively?
This is where their approach gets really clever. They reformulated the standard mini-batch gradient descent training method, including how they handle things like data-dependent learning rates and weight decay, in a way that primarily uses matrix multiplications, or matmuls for short.
And why is that so important?
Because matmuls are operations that could be highly optimized on specialized hardware, like GPUs and TPUs, which means you can train much faster and more efficiently.
So they're leveraging the power of parallel processing to speed things up.
Exactly. They take the long input sequence and divide it into smaller, manageable chunks. And within each chunk, they can apply these efficient matrix operations in parallel. And they even suggest that making some of the key parameters like alpha, theta, and eta dependent on these chunks could lead to even faster training.
That's really smart. So breaking down the problem and using these optimized operations makes the training process much more manageable now. In addition to this neural long-term memory, the paper also introduces the concept of persistent memory. What is that, and how does it fit into the overall Titan architecture?
Persistent memory is basically a set of learnable parameters. But unlike the long-term memory, these parameters aren't tied to the specific input data being processed. They're more like a general knowledge base that's added to the beginning of the input sequence. And the paper presents three different ways to think about why this persistent memory might be beneficial.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Lay those perspectives on me.
The first perspective is, from a memory standpoint, persistent memory acts as a complement to the contextual long-term memory we've been discussing. So while a long-term memory stores information gleaned directly from the input, persistent memory stores more general task-related knowledge, stuff that's likely to be relevant regardless of the specific details of the input.
So it's like having some foundational understanding that helps you interpret any new information you encounter. What's the second perspective?
The second one draws an analogy from the world of feedforward networks, specifically those found within transformer architectures. The feedforward layers in transformers have weights that are independent of the input data. And the paper suggests that persistent memory might function in a similar way, acting as a sort of input-independent attention mechanism.
So it's like having this baseline level of attention that's always active, regardless of what specific input you're looking at. And what about the third motivation for persistent memory?
The third reason is more technical. It has to do with the fact that attention mechanisms that only pay attention to previous parts of the sequence often have a bias towards the very beginning of the input. The attention weights tend to be really strong for those initial tokens, so by adding persistent memory at the start, it can help to mitigate this bias and allow the attention to be more evenly distributed across the whole sequence.
So it's like a way to prime the model and prevent it from getting too fixated on just the beginning of the input. Okay, so we've got this neural long-term memory and this persistent task-related memory. How do these pieces come together to form the different Titans architectures? You mentioned there were a few different ways they could be integrated.
Right, they introduced this whole family of models called Titans. And the core idea is combining short-term memory achieved through attention, but with a limited window, and long-term memory, the neural memory module we've been discussing, along with that persistent memory for more general knowledge, and they present three main ways to connect these modules.
Okay, let's break down those different architectures. What's the first one?
The first variant is called memory as a context, or MAC for short. In this architecture, the input sequence is first split into smaller chunks, and when the model processes a new chunk, it uses that chunk as a query to fetch relevant information from the long-term memory. This retrieved information is then combined with the persistent memory in the current chunk, and this combined sequence is fed into a standard attention module.
Okay, so in MAC, the long-term memory acts like an external knowledge base that the attention mechanism can consult for each part of the input.
Exactly, and the attention mechanism also helps to decide what new information from the current chunk should be stored back into the long-term memory for future use.
That sounds like a very efficient way to manage and leverage memory. What about the second architecture?
The second one is called gated memory, or MAG, in this approach. The input sequence isn't explicitly divided into chunks. Instead, the long-term memory is updated directly from the continuous stream of input data, and at the same time, a sliding window attention mechanism runs on the input, providing a very focused, short-term view of the immediate context.
So it's like having two parallel streams of information processing, one very localized and the other more global.
Right, and the outputs from the sliding window attention and the long-term memory are then combined using a gating mechanism, which decides how much weight to give to each source of information.
That makes sense. It's like a dynamic weighting system that adapts to the context. What about the third Titan architecture?
The third one is memory as a layer, or MAL, in this configuration. The input is first processed by the long-term memory module, and the output of the memory module is then fed into a sliding window attention module.
So it's a more sequential setup where the long-term memory kind of pre-processes the information before it reaches the attention mechanism?
You could think of it that way, and the paper does point out that this type of sequential arrangement is more common in existing hybrid models that combine recurrent neural networks and attention mechanisms. But they also suggest that it might not fully exploit the benefits of having both a long-term and short-term memory component.
So they're hypothesizing that the MAC and MAG architectures might be more advantageous in certain cases? And didn't they also explore a variant called memory without attention, or LMM?
Yes, they did. They wanted to see if the neural long-term memory modules could function effectively at a standalone sequence model without relying on any explicit short-term attention. And in their experiments, they sometimes refer to this as LMM, or Titan's LMM figure 3. In the paper, actually provides a really helpful visual illustration of how the attention mechanisms work or don't work in the case of LMM for all these different Titan variants.
Visualizations are always so helpful for understanding these kinds of architectural differences. Now, the paper also mentions this pretty significant theoretical result, Theorem 4.1, which talks about the expressiveness of Titans compared to other models. What's the key takeaway there?
In simple terms, Theorem 4.1 basically states that Titans are theoretically more capable of representing complex relationships and keeping track of states over long sequences compared to transformers and most linear recurrent models.
So they have a stronger theoretical foundation for handling those long-range dependencies.
Exactly. It suggests they can tackle more intricate tasks that require reasoning over extended periods of time, which is a limitation of some other architectures. Now let's shift gears and talk about how they actually performed in practice. The paper presents a whole bunch of experimental results across different tasks. So where did Titans really shine?
Yeah, let's dive into those results.
Well, in tasks like language modeling and common sense reasoning, which are detailed in Table 1, all the different Titan architectures, LMMAC, MAG, and MAL, generally outperformed modern recurrent models and other hybrid approaches.
So they were consistently beating out the competition in those standard language tasks.
Yes, and interestingly, LMM often did even better than other gradient-based recurrent models, highlighting the effectiveness of their specific training methods. They also found that MAC and MAG often outperformed MAL in these tasks.
Okay, what about those tasks specifically designed to test how well models handle super long contexts, like the needle in a haystack task?
This is where Titans really stood out. Table 2 shows that Titans, especially LMM and MAC, achieved significantly better performance and scaled much more effectively to longer contexts compared to baseline models like Wamba 2 and Beltonet. They attribute this success to Titans' better memory management capabilities, like the adaptive forgetting mechanism and the use of a deep nonlinear memory module.
That makes a lot of sense. If a model can't reliably remember and retrieve specific information from a really long document, then simply having a large context window doesn't really mean it understands the context. What about more complex reasoning tasks that involve understanding really long texts like the Babylon benchmark?
The results on Babylon shown in Figure 6 were particularly impressive. The MAC variant of Titans outperformed state-of-the-art models, including some really huge ones like GPT-4, in both few-shot learning and fine-tuning settings for long context reasoning. And what's even more remarkable is that they often achieve this with significantly fewer parameters than those massive models.
Wow, outperforming GPT-4 on long context reasoning with a potentially much smaller model, that's a big deal. The paper also looked into the impact of making the long-term memory module deeper, right?
Yes, they did. Figure 7 and 8 show the effects of increasing the number of layers LM in the neural long-term memory. And their general finding was that a deeper memory generally led to better performance, especially for longer sequences. But there's a trade-off. Deeper memory also means slower training times.
So as with many things in AI, there's this balance between performance and efficiency. Did they also test Titans on tasks beyond just natural language, like time series data or genomics?
They did, and the results in those areas were also very encouraging. Table 3 shows that the neural memory module outperformed various state-of-the-art models specifically designed for time series forecasting tasks. And in genomics, Table 4 shows that LMM achieved competitive results, suggesting this approach has broader applicability beyond just text.
That's great to see. And speaking of broader applicability, the paper also touches on the efficiency of Titans in terms of training speed.
Yes, Figure 9 compares the training throughput of Titans and some baseline models. They found that MAL could be faster than some baselines, likely due to the efficiency of the sliding window attention. But LMM was a bit slower than some recurrent models, probably because of the complexity of its memory update process.
So different Titan architectures have different strengths and weaknesses depending on the task and the available computational resources. Finally, they also did an ablation study where they removed different parts of the Titan architecture to see how each component contributed to performance. What were the main takeaways from that?
The ablation study shown in Table 5 show that all the key elements of the neural long-term memory, the deep MLP architecture, the convolutional layers, the momentum and the surprise calculation, the weight decay, and the persistent memory all had a positive impact on the model's performance. And it also reinforced their earlier findings that MAC and MAG generally performed better than MAL, highlighting the importance of how the long-term memory is integrated into the whole system.
So it really seems like Titans represent a significant step forward in addressing this long-standing challenge of giving AI more effective long-term memory.
Absolutely. It's a novel and intuitively inspired approach, drawing inspiration from how human memory works. and it addresses some fundamental limitations of existing architectures when it comes to handling really long sequences of information.
And the potential applications across so many different fields are really exciting, from natural language processing to genomics to time series analysis, anywhere you need to process and understand vast amounts of information over time.
Exactly. While there are still trade-offs to consider and optimize this research, definitely opens up some really exciting new avenues for a future work in AI.
It really makes you think about what the future holds if we can develop AI models that can truly learn and remember like humans, what entirely new possibilities might emerge in our own areas of interest or work. Imagine AI models that can continuously learn and adapt over incredibly long contexts. It could revolutionize everything from scientific discovery to personalized education and so much more.
That's a really thought-provoking point to end on. We definitely encourage you, our listener, to dig deeper into this fascinating research paper. We'll include a link in the show notes. And as always, please stay tuned for future deep dives as we continue to explore the cutting edge of AI and beyond.
What if the key to unlocking truly intelligent AI lies not just in more computational power, but in fundamentally changing how AI learns and uses information over the long term? It's a question that this research on Titans is certainly pushing us to consider.
I agree. It's a very exciting time to be following the developments in this field.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.